This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
9 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. How is it looking in your area? How is the situation? My name is Anogbevi. We have various situations nationwide, and we will be dealing with them one day at a time on the Crossfire this year. So Nnamdi Kanu was in court yesterday. A lot of people thought that he would not be taking, but he was there. And of course, Mike Ozekwume is now the lead counsel for Nnamdi Kanu. What else happened? He will be back in court this morning and tomorrow as well. And I hear that economic activities have been grounded in most of the, in all of the Southeast state. We couldn't confirm for Ebonyi, but we confirmed for Anambra, Imo, Enugu, Abia. Yes, we confirmed for those four yesterday. Spoke to our correspondent in Anambra State, and he said, you know, I'm dodging. I'm just using, you know, inroads. There's no car on the road. The same in Owerri. It's unbelievable how it is that somewhat another government is taking over the southeast. Nobody does business during the day. It's unbelievable. But the trial is on. He will take his plea today. 15 new counts, you know, were added by the federal government. I believe that was on Friday. We'll keep our eyes on that, but that's not the conversation this morning. And for those who may have missed the memo, the House of Reps have spoken about the situation in Rivers State. They're asking the government agencies who are involved to do something about it. So we're going to see how that will go, because there was also that question about multinationals and how it is that if the facilities are being vandalized to get crude, how is it that we're not hearing about it? What's going on there? We have a new GOC in Rivers State, for those who missed that. He resumed yesterday. And today we will be talking about the fuel subsidy removal. Senate President Ahmed Lawan says the president said to him, I have not instructed anyone on that matter just yet. But recall that last year, Zainab Ahmed said something about fuel subsidy removal. Let's listen to her. We'll get the conversation rolling in a bit. My name is Anogbevi. Good morning.
The Petroleum Industry Act has a provision that all petroleum products must be deregulated. And in the 2020 budget, we made a provision to assume that at the maximum, by the end of June, we must exit subsidy. So this last FAC, the subsidy cost to the Federation was $243 billion. So if you look at a cost of about $250 billion per month, and it has been increasing consistently, so we're expecting something like $120 billion per month from NNPC. Well, now we're getting to a point when NNPC is remitting near zero. And if we don't stop, we'll get to a point when they'll be giving us a bill to say, you have to actually pay me this for managing the fuel provision in the country. So if you take $250 billion, times 12 months, that is about 3 trillion naira. If we don't remove that, that is what is costing us.
3 trillion naira. But of course, this same government, when they were trying to get into office, said they were going to fix the refineries. I know that some work is going on at the Port Harcourt refinery. Last year, someone was here from the NNPC. They said they're working. But I think the delivery date should be 2022 December, if I recollect correctly. So that hasn't happened. But of course, we have Dangote Refinery. Its work is going on there speedily too. And the federal government bought 20% share. I think it comes to about, is it $2 trillion or something like that? We'll get the exact figure. But here we are. The president is saying, I didn't order fuel subsidy removal. And the Nigeria Labour Congress is hinging on that. They're saying that before that would happen, they need to have certain kinds of conversation. Then again, last year, we recollect the federal government saying that they would share 5,000 naira, you know, as a palliative when the subsidy is removed. Atike Trude, public affairs analyst, joins me over the phone this morning from Lagos. Good morning, Achike. How are you?
Good morning. Hello.
Happy New Year.
Yes, I'm here.
So, what exactly is Labour saying at this time?
Well, it's about a resistance to any planned fuel hike. Of course, I guess everybody's tired of the politics of fuel subsidy in the country, where the government over the years has removed subsidy about over 10 times in the past two decades. And each time, sometimes, you know, even when they remove the subsidy, the government officials will tell you, yes, that they have removed virtually everything. Now there's no longer any subsidy, you know, in the fuel regime. Only for that to come back some months later to tell you that there is a problem. Of course, people have also talked about, and there are all kinds of issues that lead to that. People have talked about Nigeria being an import-dependent country, you know, and that for as long as you're importing fuel, especially fuel, into the country, which is in a way the mainstay of the Nigerian economy, that Nigeria would always be subject to the vagaries of the international financial system. So the Naira is devalued, the more Nigerians we have to continue to pay for fuel, and the more the government has to pay subsidy, therefore subsidy has to be removed. And so if you look at it, what it means is that even when they tell you that they have deregulated at this particular point in time, there would always be changes in the pump price of fuel. There will always be, so it's not going to be a one-off. That at any particular point in time, when the international economic dynamics change, you know, favorable times, I mean, to Nigeria, that the Nigerian people will have to respond by paying higher, you know, taxes for fuel. So this is essentially what it's all about. And Labour, I think, is saying that this cannot continue. We've gone through this road several times, and that you have to also balance whatever government wants to do, the need for revenue by the federal government, with the life of the people. And the reality is that we are in an unprecedented economic situation. The financial crisis that Nigerians are going through is harrowing. And for people who are saying things are hard, things are difficult, I just smile and I tell them, you wait till they increase the pump price of oil again. You will see the mother of all poverty, the mother of all hardship in this country. And it must have social implications. Because when you have the kind of poverty we have, the kind of joblessness, the kind of hopelessness among the people, there will be consequences, and the consequences will be social. And that a lot of us are not going to are going to be under severe strain trying to put off the maintenance of the social pressures of what is happening. And so, I mean, this is the Labour proposition. But we know Labour, so this is what Labour is saying. Whether Labour has the capacity to see it to its logical conclusion, okay, but I guess that should be maybe the course of this program. You know, let me not preempt what you want to you might want to ask.
So Ip Man on his part is saying that they support, you know, the removal of fuel subsidy on petrol.
Look, of course, there are also reasons from all sides, you know. I just mentioned some of the reasons. But we also know that we have put ourselves in this condition. And it is not as if the government is not aware. All governments, especially this government, when they came in, said they are going to solve this fuel crisis once and for all. And it was not from the perspective of fuel subsidy. Don't forget that the president is on record, irrefutable record, to have said that there is nothing like subsidy, that it is a scam. This president said it. And he said it because he was once, you know, the Minister of Petroleum in charge of NNPC at a particular point in time. And so he said it was all a scam. Everything they tell us about subsidy is a scam. But his government has increased the pump price of fuel, has removed subsidy more than any other government in the history of this country. The last major increase was about 70% increase or 80% increase in the pump price of fuel. It has not happened before like that in the country. You know, so And so this is the issue. And then again, when you look at the NNPC, for instance, they will tell you about 100 million liters. Nigerians consume about 100 million liters of fuel a day. Now, some years back, it was around 35 million. So how are we consuming about 35 million all of a sudden?
Well, there was a document I saw, Achike, and it said that possibly some of it has been taken to neighboring countries, that Nigerians alone cannot consume that. But if you look at the past situation, has it improved such a way that we would be having less than, you know, the 30-something million liters that they talk about? Is the past situation better?
So you have to look at the state of the Nigerian economy. Is the economy expanding or is it contracting? The reality is that it is contracting. The reality is that a lot of companies and, you know, businesses are not doing well. Many of them have closed shops. Some have gone to some other West African countries where there are more favorable terms of engagement, you know. And so, so at what level? Okay, fine. You could also make the argument that more cars have been imported, to Tucumbo cars and the rest. But then the reality is that not everybody goes out with their cars every single day in this country, because there must be a way of getting this data. So what is the quantum of fuel that Nigerians internally are using? But besides, even what they have told us, the quantum of fuel that they say is being smuggled out of the country, when a government tells you this, you know that that government has failed in providing responsibility to the people. Because since the issue of fuel, especially of this magnitude they are talking about, is a matter of, you know, can constitute a matter of a serious economic sabotage, why are these trucks being shipped out of this country? If they are not going through the bushes or the forest, they are going through roads that are manned by customs and other security agencies. Because what it means, from what they told us, is being stolen, smuggled out of the country. It would mean about 2,000 trucks. Yeah, I'm looking at the data from the government. That's why sometimes you ask yourself whether the people running this government are thinking at all, whether they work with data. It would mean there are over 2,000 trucks, you know, that leave this country every day with smuggled petroleum products. How is that possible? 2,000 is not 200, it's not 50. So how is it possible? So, and then the managing director of NNPC says that Nigeria doesn't exactly know how much fuel is being used per day. They don't know. So what exact data are they using to tell us, you know, about how much Nigeria is spending on subsidy? Under the Jonathan administration, they told us trillions have been spent. Under the Buhari administration, that was supposed to be, you know, more transparent and accountable and all that, much more subsidies being paid for than happened in Jonathan's government. How is this thing possible? How even after increase, after this massive increase in the pump price of oil, yes, again, you have to look at the economic dynamics, the exchange rate and all that. All of these things come into play.
But what about, you know, it's electioneering period already. We know that politicians will want to be on the good side of the people. Do you see them following this through? I don't know which edition of the fuel subsidy removal we're in now, but do you see them following it through?
I think it's a good observation you're making, because the thing about it is that, again, don't forget that the president has not signed the electoral bill. Let's hope that the National Assembly will do their own part and we submit to the president so that he can sign. But there are certain provisions in that bill that make it difficult for politicians to do what they want to do. For instance, the issue of electronic, you know, voting transmission of votes. So what it means is that the politicians, for as long as the electoral laws make it more and more difficult for the politicians to manipulate the electoral process as much as is possible, I'm not saying it's perfect, it becomes, you know, more difficult for the politicians to issue public policies that are very detrimental to the welfare of their people. And that's why you're asking this question. So if today they impose this fuel subsidy removal on the people and make the lives of the people maybe about 100 times harder than it is already, it's definitely going to translate into something at the polls, regardless of even the normal identity politics they play, the politics of tribalism and regionalism and so on. It will count in the hearts of some people that they are suffering. You know, I was on a radio program not too long ago in Lagos, and people were talking about some of the various candidates, and there was somebody called in. Yeah, you tell from the guy's, the way he spoke and so that he's just one of the masses. You know, say, what are people talking about candidates and all that, that we are suffering in this country under the present dispensation and the present political party? Yes, and so that spoke volumes, that there is a connection between how people vote and the state of their lives if the electoral process, the voting process, is transparent, is credible, and if the opposition party does its work well in bringing the right issues before the people. The people will have no choice but to vote according to the dictates of their stomach and the conditions that they find themselves in. And we're getting to that level where we know that people are usually induced during the electoral process. And then they forget their conscience, they forget, you know, their status, their present social status, and vote the money. But we are beginning to see some subtle resistance to that. We saw that in the Anambra state election. You know, where some women actually rejected 5,000 naira given to them to cast their vote in a different way. You know, so it will have an impact. And so the government, I agree with you, we have to look at the implication of doing this, increasing the hardship and the burden of the Nigerian people. Mm. It should translate to something in the election. The unfortunate thing is that the Nigerian, political space is just characterized, it's been dominated up to today by two major political parties that have not done too well for Nigeria, the PDP and the APC.
Mm.
So what people are now going to do, look at the end of the day, sort like they did maybe 2015, if the other side, Nigerians themselves, now are not able to come up with something much more credible political platform. So Nigerians, we have to make the choice they made in 2015.
Between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Let us look at the smaller devil. You understand? And so the smaller devil at that time was the APC compared to the PDP. Mm. Now, I'm not even sure that Nigerians will look at the APC as the smaller devil anymore. It depends on Nigerians. I won't speak for them.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. But then again, this matter of refineries. You know, this government told Nigerians about 6 years or thereabouts ago that they're going to, revive the refineries because that's one of the major issues. I know the NLC raised this and said they've spent about $9.5 billion, I think, on turnaround maintenance and some other projects in a bid to help, the situation. But it's 6 years and counting and nothing has been done. And rather we hear that they're buying stakes in Dangote's refinery.
Emma, they say whatever goes around comes around. You know, and sometimes you sit back and you look at the nemesis, at work. What am I saying? I remember this president accusing the former president, Olusegun Obasanjo, of spending how many billion dollars, so many billion dollars in the electricity sector. There's no electricity in the country. You know, so the same way they have also spent billions of dollars in the so-called attempt to, revitalize the refineries, and there's nothing to show for it. Now, I remember when they came into power. Yes, that was one of the fundamental statements of intent about what they wanted to do. I remember then the former Minister of State in the Ministry of Petroleum, Ibe Kachukwu, giving us a monthly update on the work, the turnaround work that was going on in all the refineries in the country. Sometimes they tell us maybe the one refinery has reached 20% in the completion stage, the one in Port Harcourt about 30%, the one in Kaduna maybe 20%, and the rest. And this thing went on, and as they were doing it, money was being expended for all of this. Monies were being expended in dollars. Then all of a sudden, after about 6 months, stopped. Nobody, they all stopped talking about it. Money gone down the drain. Nothing has happened until some of those refineries stopped producing not even a liter of refined product. So what has happened to that money? And then you now find out, again, they couldn't build a refinery, a government like Nigeria. Do not also forget that Nigeria is the only OPEC country that does the kind of massive importation of refined products that other OPEC countries are not doing that. They build refineries in their country. Some of them, even Venezuela, with all the problem it's having, has a lot of refineries in the United States and other parts of the world. How many does Nigeria have, even within the country? Nothing. And what they have now done is, now Dangote has been able to build a refinery. And all of a sudden the federal government says they're going to give Dangote $2.7 billion. People are saying it is because they need that money to service the loans he collected, he picked up for the refinery. And so the federal government came in and stylishly bailed him out. I gave him the money and then to transformed it to equity. No problem with that. Now these are, don't also forget one of the cardinal statements the government has been talking about before the embark of privatization, that the business of God, the government has no business in business, and that the business there was the need to privatize public enterprises because they are not working at optimal level. What did they do? They privatized NEPA, they privatized other institutions. A lot of them are not performing, at least according to statements from the BPE, a lot of them are not performing, about 10% of them are performing at an optimal level. Now, the banks are privately owned. The banks ran into a problem. Government put public money into the banks. Government that cannot support its own, public enterprises, because they feel they cannot manage it well. But when the private sector people do not manage their businesses well, federal government puts money there. When the airlines ran down in this country, the federal government put about ₦1 trillion. They gave the banks about ₦2.4 trillion. They have given the distribution companies about ₦1.5 trillion so far. Private enterprises. The same thing they have done with Dangote. Now they said they want to now do more equity, participation in at least 6 other refineries in the country built by private individuals. So it's a decision of the position that government has been taking over the past. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with government, investing in equity, as long as the government is going to make money for the citizens. Mm. But that is the way to go, just like you had the LNG situation, where gas is being, managed, energy is being managed by a foreign consortium, with Nigeria being a 49% stakeholder. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the billions of dollars that the Nigerian government is getting in the process. So sometimes you must retain some of the policy drives in this, initiatives in this country. Because what they do is that they just go to encourage, the ownership of actually every public institution in this country that's important and putting it in the hands of private individuals in Nigeria. And that cannot continue for too long.
All right, so Achike, a commercial has to play now, but afterwards we'll talk about Nigerians because this is not the first time NLC has said they're going to go on a strike, sort of rallied people, and then at the last minute they backed down. Would Nigerians be willing to support the NLC if indeed they plan to, and they do, proceed with the strike? I believe it's next week, Thursday, the 27th. Yes, January 27th. So we'll talk about that after the commercial. Thank you, Achike Chide, for your time. Public Affairs Analyst Achike Chide joining me from Lagos, talking petrol subsidy removal, NLC planned strike next week. As a Nigerian, would you support the NLC? Would you rally behind them? Would you down tools? We'll talk after the commercial. My name is Anoa Bevere. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Interesting comment from someone who's listening this morning. He says nothing is going on at the Port Harcourt refinery. Well, the government says otherwise. They had several engagements and there was a fire around the New Year Day, and the MD of the Port Harcourt Refining Company, Ahmed Diko, said they're on course to meet the set date to completely rehabilitate the refinery. Okay, so it's left for those who are there or know what's going on to tell us that perhaps nothing of that sort is going on. We're Nigerian for Port Harcourt. My name is Eno Ogbevri. Labour is calling a strike on the 27th of January. And what is it about? Fuel subsidy removal. This government has removed several times, but it hasn't been taking off. And last year, we had the Minister of Finance, Zainab Ahmed, saying that in February, it will be removed. And another minister, I believe, saying the figure might come up to 340 naira per litre. But then again, yesterday, the president of the Senate, Ahmed Lawan, said he spoke with President Muhammad Buhari, who said he hasn't spoken to anyone, said anything about subsidy removal. There's a matter of the untold hardship it will cost Nigerians. But then again, the labour strike that is likely to happen, we don't know if it will happen eventually, but they're poised to ensure that the strike takes place. And this is not the first time they've taken this posture. But as a Nigerian, would you stand with Labour on this one? 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009 are the numbers to call. Interestingly, a group has taxed Labour on this matter. And they're saying that given its history of betrayal, Labour leadership will have to do a lot more to prove to Nigerian workers and masses that they actually mean to fight this time around. Words would not be enough. Words would not be enough. Let's hear you. Good morning. Hello?
Good morning, Madam Eno.
Morning.
Yes, my name is David West, ATN Nigeria. I keenly listen to your guest, and I agree with him in assertions. But for me, I think there is one missing link, or there is something we are also not looking at. Does anything stop the state government like River State, Bayelsa, Delta State, that are having these oils within their domain? They also have the proper environment to, if they want to build refineries, to build refineries. Does anything stop the state from investing in refineries? Now, also look at it this way. I'm aware Bayelsa State Government is having a marginal oil field, OML 56 or so, but it's named Atala Marginal Oil Field. Over the years, this state cannot make use of that marginal oil field to even build a refinery or make money from it. Rather, somebody is thinking of converting it to his own personal property. We're also meant to understand that River State government is also having the same license too. What are they doing with it? So don't you think if the state government within these places build refineries in their own domain, these subsidies we are talking, I think would have been going to the state government to increase their revenue. So, for me, the federal government, if they want to remove subsidy, must do everything humanly possible to see that the refineries are functioning. That is the only palliative or solution to this thing. But if the refineries are not functioning, I compare Nigeria to a factory that runs on generator. What do you expect if you don't import the fuel to run the generator? And we cannot be spending a huge amount of money to run that same generator when we have the natural one to run it without spending that amount of money. Let's think towards making the refineries work. For labor, if you strike for 3 days and you come back again to continue, and for that 3 days we have lost millions of naira or billions of naira, how do we recover it? So it's neither here nor there. The sustainability of the strike or the protest is the question. Good morning.
All right. Sustainability. 0817-923-0002. Someone has a question for Achiki. We'll get him back on the phone. I will put the question to him. 0817-923-0002. Let's hear your views this morning. Hello.
The Enigma, good morning to you.
Morning.
Amidst
mixed feeling about labor. If labor intends to carry out this strike, I, Mr. Zion, will give them the full support. When the news was broke last year that there's going to be a removal of subsidy, Mr. President or the Office of the Presidency never responded. Labor, in his own wisdom, intend to start mobilizing all their affiliates and associate members that if they try to lock down the economy of Nigeria. He that made that information or gave that information of subsidy removal never replied. When they now saw the sagacity of labor, that indeed labor is not backing down in their promise, they decided to impugn Mr. President just less than 48, 42 hours ago. That, look, I never sent anybody that there's going to be a subsidy removal, which I know, Mr. Zion, that is not true. Any information from any minister has been tagged to be from the presidency, which means he's endorsing his signature in not adding such information.
Mm. Okay, Mr. Zion, let's go back to the first part of what you were talking about. The caller before you said that the question of sustainability comes in here. How do you respond to that?
In that aspect of labor sustaining their grievance or their protest, you know, calling up within 24 hours or 72 hours, nothing is wrong about that. In every labor dispute, there's always a ground for negotiation.
So you're saying that they will wait till the day then after 48 hours or 72 hours, then they start to negotiate. Are they not supposed to be negotiating now? They've been having several meetings. So do they get to that point, get on with the strike, call back, then go and negotiate again?
The federal government is not responding in all their negotiations.
Yeah, so but you're using the word negotiate again. So are we not just going around? Won't they be going around in circles?
This time, I think Labour has learned their lesson that Nigerians are losing confidence and trust on them.
All right.
So they want to uphold that tenacity. They want to uphold that integrity of labor once again.
Okay.
So I think they deserve a second chance.
All right.
Mr. Zion.
Will this be the second, the fourth, or the fifth? 0817-923-0002. Chike Chude is back. Tony Anthony says, truth be told, the current pump price for petroleum products is not viable for the marketers and the Nigerian economy. Hence, the continuous subsidy should be stopped. Consumers should pay the actual cost for what they consume. If the government does not subsidize medical bills, school fees, house rent, feeding, etc., why then must they subsidize the former? Chike, did you hear that?
Please again.
If the federal government does not subsidize medical bills, school fees, house rent, feeding, why then must they subsidize petrol or petroleum products?
because petrol covers every single thing that he has talked about.
Mm.
Every single thing he has talked about. Because, you know, governments that are smart, governments that are working.
The connection? Hello? Okay, we'll call Achike again. Tony, he would answer the question. Take a call. NLC Strike. Good morning.
Good morning, Eno.
Yes, let's hear you.
Yes, I'm Chima. I'm calling you from Port Harcourt. Eno, I think the sustainability lies on Nigerians, because Nigerians will be the ones who will come out to start a blaming labor. Because for me, I'm in full support of labor. In regards to what it takes, the sacrifice it has to make. And just let's look at it this way. This government came up with a promise of fixing a refinery on 4 years, each refinery. Mr. President said it, on 4 years. Now, it's almost going out of office, and none of the refineries working. And they want to remove subsidy on top. Does this government have conscience at all? As I'm talking to you, we are on hyperinflation in Nigeria. You understand? There's increase on everything. They want to remove subsidy to add to the suffering of Nigeria. I think the sustainability must be there. If Nigeria labor get the support of Nigerians, and me myself, I'm in support of this.
All right. I was starting to wonder. Nigerians suffering because of the subsidy matter? Is that the you know, one of the major reasons why the country is the way it is? Achike is back on the phone. Achike, you were saying.
Yes, you were saying something. Look, the issue is that, I mean, the guy asks why government is not subsidizing their food stuff and all that. Of course, the petrol, issues of petrol, you know, and its relevance to the economy, it cannot be downplayed under any circumstance. Because it has an overwhelming influence in every other thing that is done, whether it's school fees, medical bills, and all that. People have to make movements, and movements are dependent on, you know, on vehicles that have to use fuel. You know, so people talk about subsidy and say subsidy is a crime. The great nations of the world today, especially the nations that we're trying to, you know, emulate, are all, in one way or the other, have always subsidized the lives of their people. Otherwise, why would you talk about, you know, social security schemes in America, in Canada, in Britain, and all these other places, even though they are purely, they are wholly capitalist, you know, economies. But they also realize that they have to provide a minimum standard of living for the people in order to avoid social chaos and crisis.
So Nigeria is here to provide that.
So the steel industry is subsidized, the agricultural industry is subsidized to make food available to the people, you know, and then these are some of the issues, and we cannot, you know, use that as an argument. They provide social housing. What manner of social housing is being provided? Because the caller, you know, I'm referring to, talked about why government is not subsidizing rent and the rest, but they're providing housing, social housing for ordinary people. If you don't have a house, you know, they provide a house and they provide you meal tickets or meal stamps for you to go get, you know, food from the various food banks. These are the things that they do. Have you seen what nations have done for their citizens during the COVID-19? So these are the responsibilities of government. The reality is that Nigeria does not have any business being in the situation that she has been. Right. Why are the refineries not working? Why have they not built new refineries all this while? Yeah. Because if they had built refineries all this while, they cannot be talking about subsidy. The tremendous amount of money that we are expending for foreign exchange in order to import these refineries into the country, we will not do it.
Right.
So what is happening is that Nigerians have to be punished for the incompetence of government over the years in the country.
Standing with labor.
I think on the WhatsApp, somebody asked why states are not investing in building. I think somebody asked the question about why states are not building refineries.
Especially the oil producing ones.
You also have to go back to the Constitution, the exclusive list of the Constitution. That's why people are talking about some level of restructuring. Because some of these things are put wholly in the hands of the federal government. States cannot do everything that they might want to do that might be expedient to ameliorate the lives of their people without, you know, being a violation of certain provisions of the Nigerian Constitution. So that's why states cannot build rail lines across their states. That's why even with regards to electricity, they cannot generate electricity for themselves without, you know, some form of agreement with the federal government. So many other things. And so it's also part of the reason.
All right. Someone here says, Damietere Kosima says, Nigerian Labour Congress are barking dogs with seldom bites. Nigerians lost their confidence the last time Labour came up with the same idea of going on a strike and backing down at the last minute. Anietia says, if subsidy is removed, federal government should be ready to welcome increase in bunkery and criminal activities because Nigerians must devise a means of survival.
You see, with regards to labor, really there is a trust deficit with regards to labor. Nigerians do not trust, you know, the labor leadership and the labor as a movement. And we have made it very clear. I will not speak on behalf of labor because I do not represent them, but I think I can talk about labor issues, from a vantage position. We have had a lot of, my organization has had a lot of dealings with labor in most of the activities that we have had in this country. In fact, the most notable of them, the 2012 struggle against the imposition of the pump price of fuel, we were the ones that led the Joint Action Front. The labor did not get into the fray until 7 days after the whole country had, was in protest against the imposition of the new pump price at that particular point in time. But the thing is that labor has the kind of structure that no other organization has. And so it becomes expedient when, you know, protests get to a particular level where the government wants to begin to talk, they want to talk to labor. Even though labor was not the organization that pulled together the 2012 January 2nd or 3rd action, you know, in Nigeria. So I think that has been the biggest problem with labor. That labor, the perception that labor tends to profit from some of these things in terms of, you know, what people have speculated, all kinds of things.
Settlements.
That labor leaders are financially settled and all that.
Mm.
I cannot say anything about it. But the reality is that if labor wants this particular struggle to succeed, then they must work in more proactive ways with credible civil society organizations, where labor ultimately at the end of the day, where labor with these civil society organizations go into this action, and if there has to be the possibility of a discussion by the federal government, labor will not own that discussion.
Okay.
It will be done with the federal government on the basis of the partnership, the civil society labor partnership that has been built, prior to the protest itself.
Right.
So labor should not be allowed to continue to be the sole negotiator with the federal government when it comes to that. It is these things that dampen the mood of the people and gives the impression that labor has sold out.
All right, so question here. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Nana.
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Jay Agent.
Okay.
And I had the Minister of Finance saying that 250 billion per month. The same person wants to spend 2.1 trillion, 5,000 every month to pay poor people. That will amount to like 3 trillion in a year. Then I checked something enough. 400,000 barrel a day refinery will not take more than $10 billion. Now, if you have two of that, it will be $20 billion, which will give us 800,000 barrel per day, right? Now, what we have so far is about 440,000 barrels. We are spending $26 billion. Is that a wise decision? Knowing too well that for every fuel you bring in here, we are making people unemployed because the process of producing this whole thing is to create massive employment at the end of the day.
Mm.
So we are spending our money in another economy, bringing fuel, and at the same time making our people jobless. Is that not time bomb, for goodness sake?
All right, so let's talk about...
So as far as I'm concerned, me, I will join labor. Even if labor don't want to come, I will do my own best to do my own protest. But my own problem too is the sustainability of this whole thing, because labor, they're already saying they want to negotiate. Nigerians are not calling on them to negotiate. They are not the owners of Nigeria. We are saying that don't remove this subsidy, because this is as a result of rot for over 40 years, and we can't pay for it, for goodness sake. So if they can't make this calculation to make sure that they stop using one stone to kill two birds, do the refinery, put people employed, and create massive employment for everybody, then they should forget about increasing 1 naira of the subsidy. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. Chike, we'll talk about this sustainability question, but the question here, or comment here, by Barry Johnson, says, of the opinion that fuel subsidy should be removed once and for all, there's a lot of confusion and profiteering in this mess of a subsidy. Nigerians have been ripped off and terribly cheated through this. But Chike, let's talk about this sustainability question here. Labour and whatever protest they want to carry out, how sustainable would it be? Would they come in and after 3 days they back down? What would that even mean in the long term? Because this is the election year. If they don't do it now, do we stand a chance? Do Nigerians stand a chance?
I think. You know what? If you want to resolve some of these issues permanently, you have to build refineries. We have to have our own, increase our refining capacity. We have to make sure that our refineries work. And if the government had been very serious about it, they would have built about six, you know, medium refineries since they came to office in 2015. So much more has been spent in that sector that would have been enough to build one or two refineries. So that, if you want to resolve this issue, because the issue of fuel subsidy and so on is just a temporary issue. you know, ultimately at the end of the day, we go back to the trenches again. We go back to the struggle. We have seen it happen now. The very last time it was done under this administration, I told you in that 70 or 80% increase in the pump price of oil. They told us shortly after that that they had removed the subsidy. Then a few months later, they said, no, a little bit of money was still left. So you can see that there is no trust when it comes to government government pronouncements and what people are seeing and what people are hearing.
Mm.
Government, first of all, doesn't even have a comprehensive data of what is happening in the oil industry. They will tell you today that 100 million is being stolen out of, smuggled out of the country. And we say it's not possible now. How much is being used even within Nigeria?
Okay.
You know, because if you're looking at that quantum of oil that is being smuggled, you're talking about 2,000 trucks being smuggled by day across the various borders in this country, especially the north. How is that possible if the government itself is not involved in that smuggling? You know, so that also is not true. You know, and then when they now say they are going to pay 5,000 to the about 42 million Nigerians that are poor, if they allow this, subsidy to be removed, by the time you calculated, you realize that what they will be spending is even more than to pay 5,000 to about 42 million, you know, very poor Nigerians. It's more than even the money they want to save in removing the fuel subsidy. So why remove it in the first place?
All right.
So you find out that even when they make claims, they are cut out on the claims they make because they are not even diligent in ensuring that they do the right kind of data gathering to back up their claims.
So we've run out of time, but just, you know, as briefly as you can, maybe in a sentence or two, sustainability question, how do we answer that?
Yeah, well, I don't know how it's going to end up. Obviously, every struggle we end up at, even conflicts, violent conflicts, end up at the negotiating table. But what I'm saying is that the labor has to, you know, provide, we have to have newer arguments. We have to, you know, ensure that the refineries are built in this country so that we leave this continuous agitation about increase or no increase of pumpers of oil forever.
All right, thank
you. Let us do the right thing so that we can avoid this situation.
Thank you very much, Achike Chude, for your time. Doing the right thing, of course, starts with voting in the right people, and that would be the conversation I would have with Aisha Yesufu tomorrow on The Crossfire, 8 o'clock. Don't miss it. My name is Enoa Bavire. Good morning.